Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is Bonnie Kay, and welcome to the Straight Wives Talk Show. This is a hard-hitting show that discusses the complexity of marriages between straight women to gay men. Each week, my guests and I discuss issues that affect over 4 million women in this country and millions more around the world who find themselves unknowingly married to a gay or bisexual man. If you have any comments during the show or after the show, feel free to write to me at bonkay@aol.com. That's bonkaye@aol.com. This is my year-end show. This is the end of the year 2020. And to help me launch my final show for the season, I have my wonderful support group member, Megan. Megan, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Bonnie. Thank you for having me. I'm looking forward to 2021. That's for sure.
Oh, my God, yes. This has really been a year of all years. We lived through a pandemic and a tragic season for so many people, so many straight wives who are really suffering this year because of the pandemic. And people may say, well, why are they suffering more now than before? But they're definitely suffering more because, number one, some women are really trapped in their marriages who are looking to get out of them. But they're stuck there for now because of financial reasons, because their jobs didn't pan out, there's no income coming in. And so they're really stuck where they shouldn't be at this moment. Other women have been forced to really restructure their whole lives, who have children at home, who have to do homeschooling depending on the city where they live. How about out by where you live, how change has been made?
Well, I'm actually living out, I moved across the country. I'm living out in the West Coast now. After I got divorced, I pretty much took up and moved across the country. I have to say, California is not doing so well. I feel like we're back to where we were, 6 months ago. Yeah, the fortunate thing is that it's beautiful weather and, you know, a lot of outdoor activities. But it's the same, you know, I feel so badly for so many businesses that have shut down. And, you know, we had outdoor dining, indoor dining, which was wonderful, but now all those businesses are closed. The schools actually never opened. And, you know, it's really for a lot of people. And obviously, you know, on an economic level, it's terrible. And the hospitals here are filled. And, you know, and as I said, as you mentioned, you know, it's even harder to know some women are trapped and they can't even move on with their lives. They're in a situation where they can't even go through a divorce or they're stuck, you know. And I think about that. That's a tough situation to be in.
Very tough. And I, you know, here in our support group, I hear women talking about it and how, you know, they were planning on the marriages being over by now, but they're kind of stuck because of the pandemic. So I know it's made changes in lots of people's lives in lots of places. And, of course, economically, it affects all of us. And whether you're on the East Coast like I'm on or the West Coast like you're on. In fact, here they just had an announcement they were seeking desperately 300 healthcare workers to come to California because the hospitals are filled to the gills there, so to speak.
Right.
And they're desperately in need of help. And, you know, that's why I say the pandemic's really affected this world, but certainly the world within our world is affected as well. So we've had a really good year this year as far as having women come on like you, members of our support network, which we really didn't do too much in the past. And it's been wonderful having women tell their stories and making that connection with other women who are living through this, because this is such a difficult situation to live with, whether you've been married for 5 years, 10 years, 20, 30, 40 years. No matter how many years, whether you came from a good marriage, whether you came from a destructive marriage, you know, there's so many different circumstances. And we have women who are part of our network from all of these different circumstances. And I often say that unless you live this life, you just don't understand the emotional impact it has. Would you say that's pretty much true in your experience?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's actually, on top of the pandemic, which is pretty surreal in itself, you know, knowing that you were married to someone for 20 years and had a family together and had children and finding out that, you know, that your husband is gay and was carrying on affairs and, you know, with someone else, it's very hard to fathom. And, you know, as I said, you know, I was fortunate enough that I ended the marriage and got divorced very quickly, and it happened within, like, you know, 2 years. And, you know, now I'm divorced for 2 years, but I was married for 20 years, and that's a long time. And, you know, it doesn't go away overnight, you know. And, you know, you have to do the best you can to move on. You know, it's most important also if you have children, for their benefit and for their mental health and for your mental health, to just try the best you can. I mean, I was fortunate enough that I was able to move far away from the situation. I can't imagine how women feel now having to live in the same home with someone and going through the pandemic and not being able to go, you know, to even fight their divorce or go to court or dealing with lawyers. It's a whole process, and it's just, you know, it doesn't just happen overnight, and it's very not only emotional, but it's very obviously financially, it's draining. And, you know, we've talked about in the past the no fault thing. And depending on where you are, I mean, it's no fault. So any way you look at it, you know, we're the victim, you know, and that's something that really needs to be addressed.
I feel like a victim when they say no fault, because it's almost like you do your best at something and it fails, and it's not within your control. It's not like you didn't do your best to make it work. There were circumstances beyond your control that made sure that it was doomed. So if it was doomed by the other partner, why is there no fault? I mean, there is a fault, right?
I couldn't agree with you more. And, you know, and I think that people look at it like I've noticed even living out west. I mean, people don't, like, you might share your story with some friends, and then they say, well, oh, isn't that a shame that, you know, that your ex-husband had to go through that? Isn't, like, and they put a twist on it that they're the victims, and that I don't like to use the word victim, but you know, it's not anything that we wanted. It's not anything that was beyond our control. But yet they come out, and I've discussed this before. They come out with all the support they need. They have the support groups they need, and you know, we're just left to figure it out for ourselves. You know, and that's that's the hard part.
Well, that's a problem. I think that, you know, full divorce should be in all the states. It's certainly not. So the problem is that until it's recognized, you know, but I'm looking for the states that do have fault. It says, as of 2019, all 50 states have no-fault grounds. 17 states that are true no-fault states. So if you're not living in one of these states, which you're living in, unfortunately, then, you know, but there are other states. So the ones that are fault states, you have California, Colorado, Florida, Hawaii, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Kentucky, Michigan, Minnesota, Mississippi, Montana, Nebraska, Nevada, Oregon, Washington, and Wisconsin. So those are the states where you have no fault. But for all the other states, like the one I'm living in, you know, there's fault divorce. And with fault divorce, I don't think a lot of women realize that you can go for a fault divorce. And, you know, I think that's the sad part, that a lot of women don't know that. But I mean, if I knew that and it was available, I would certainly go for that, because I would, even if it wouldn't make a difference in the end on the settlement, which usually it does, if you can prove that there's been infidelity, I understand from lawyers that I've spoken to, then you can have a better financial edge on that. But, you know, even if you didn't have a better financial edge, just for the, you know, just the fact that they fault,
Exactly. I agree. You know, and it's in, you know, it's hard. There's, you know, lawyers try to suggest this emotional abandonment kind of a fault, but that's just a way of them making more money, because you can't prove that at all. And you're never going to succeed in a divorce settlement. You know, but being gay and leaving your wife for a man, or, you know, or the other way around, a woman being gay and leaving for, that's fault. You know, that's like leaving for a boyfriend, a girlfriend, whatever you are, whether you're straight or you're having an affair, that's fault. And that's where, you know, it's I think it's really on the system, but that's just my opinion, is, you know, and at least it would give some sort of satisfaction to people, you know,
yeah,
maybe
definitely.
Even financial.
With homosexuality, you know, there's two different issues to me. One is infidelity, one is sexuality. You know, they're not the same. Even though they cross over, if you have a homosexuality, then you're definitely, you know, you're being unfaithful. But it's about a lot more than just not being faithful in a marriage. Because, you know, like I say, it's beyond the circumstances, you know, whether you're true to your, you know, spouse or not. It's about lying about who you are and then blaming your spouse for everything going wrong because you can't accept it. Would you say that's true?
That's exactly the case. It's interesting, because I agree entirely. People say, oh, isn't it easier that he left you for someone of the same sex than if he left you for another woman? And I said, not necessarily, because the deception is still there. And, you know, the part is that you just have to be true to who you are. And you don't, it's almost like you're using your family and your children as a cover-up to really prove your true identity. And that's where it's wrong, you know, and that's where these men are wrong. They should be able to have the ability and not be such a coward to be able to sit down with their wife and their children and to say, I will take care of you financially. I will help you emotionally get through this turmoil, because this is what I did, and I was wrong, and I should never have used you to prove who I am as a person. That's where it's all wrong. You know, I don't care.
I don't think our women hear too many of those conversations, do you?
No. I didn't.
I mean, that's what they should be hearing.
And I never will.
That's what, Yeah, we don't kind of get those kind of conversations out of our ex-husbands.
It's the lack of remorse. And as we've discussed in the past, other people also say, I've had people legitimately say to me, it's such a shame that he must have been struggling his whole life, and it must have been really hard on him. And that's, I just walk away from that, because that's not the case at all. You know, I tried everything to understand what was going on. You know, I would have stayed in this marriage for the rest of my life. And if he hadn't been such a coward, he would have just come straight and said, listen, I am this person, and I am sorry, and I will take care of you, and I will take care of our family and do everything right. But it's the opposite. They're so mad at us and so angry with us.
Right.
That we
and
figured,
I think that is definitely hitting it on the head. Yeah, I think you hit it on the head. If they could just say to us, look, I made a mistake, it would hurt us, and we would cry, and we would grieve it, and we would mourn it, but we would understand it if they could say, I'm so sorry what I've done. You know, I was trying to fight what it was, but now I realize there's just no way I can fight it anymore. I mean, we would grieve. I'm not saying no. But the next line for, I will do everything I can to make it up to you, to make sure that you don't have to leave the house, to make sure that you don't have the children all the time. I'll split the responsibilities with you. I'll, you know, give you the support you need financially and emotionally. I think
Absolutely.
We could have really good after relationships. But that doesn't hardly ever happen.
No. They
want to know why it doesn't happen? Because they're really not
why?
Sorry. They're really not sorry that they're hurting us. They're sorry that they spent 20 years of their life. They're angry. They felt like they should be out there having a good time, and instead they felt forced to stay in a marriage that they didn't want to be in, that they created to start with.
Right. Right. I think that they really resent us for holding them back. That's what I feel.
They do.
And right?
They do.
And we were used cover up. The church was used as a cover up. The kids, the whole family was a cover up. And when we call them off on, when we found out the truth, they resent us. And that's why they're so angry and bitter. And that's why they're fighting us in the court. And that's why they don't want to deal with it, because they don't think they did anything wrong. They really don't. And they have lived, they're living their life now. I don't know, you know, to what extent, because I have absolutely zero contact, and I don't think I will ever have any contact. And I'm one of the fortunate ones, because that's the only way I'm going to get through this, is to just live my life and to, you know, spend time with my family and my kids and move on. It's the only way. And that's where I feel badly.
Have you seen him since you've moved?
Absolutely not. And I have no interest in ever seeing him again. I know that's pretty dramatic,
right,
but it's the truth. I have no idea about anything. I haven't spoken to him in years. And I have no interest in him, you know, and he's not even really making
it. Will he come when you'll run into him at a wedding, at a
I don't think so.
Especially
now with the pandemic, I don't think I have to worry. You know, weddings, funerals, there's no connection to any family at that level with his family. And, you know, we're living in two different worlds and across the country, so I'm very fortunate in that regard, you know. I don't know. Maybe I'm the other extreme, where I've taken the approach of just cutting all ties.
You know, a lot of women find that's really an important part of moving on, is just putting that past in the past and not having to have connections. Other women feel differently. I think we all handle this the best that we can. And, you know, sometimes there are women who have husbands who they feel are good to them, have tried to make it up to them, they want to keep it part of the family structure, and I'm all for it. Whatever, you know, makes you happy to live with, but you never have to feel guilty if you can't live with it. You know, that's the whole point. You know, sometimes when you say, well, my kids are saying that I'm being inflexible and that they're making me feel like I'm the guilty one because I won't give in. You know, I don't want to see him. You know, they don't realize how much it hurts me. But they're making me feel like I'm the one who's wrong. And I say, that's ridiculous. You know, how can you feel that's wrong?
Right.
Someone's hurt
right.
you so deeply. Right?
And I think it's hard, because it depends on also the age of the children that are involved in this. And, you know, I mean, I'm fortunate enough, my kids are old enough, they can make up their own mind and make their own decision. And I don't really mm-hmm. approach the subject that because I have my feelings, they probably have their feelings, but, you know, I think we're pretty much on the same page, but it's not, I don't want to go there because that's not my business. But you know, you have younger kids who are school age or that they have to, you know, see both parents, or as you mentioned, there's, you know, with the pandemic, it's obviously different, but there's no weddings and funerals and whatever and school events. But that's a really difficult position to be in. And I really feel for these people, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, when I went through divorce, my younger son was, you know, he was in high school. And it was tough because he had sporting events and, you know, he had school events. And, you know, it was a very, I just felt really badly because, you know, you don't want to impose your feelings, as you said, on your kids, and it's up to them. And at a young age, you also, you know, these kids need parents. They need their both of their parents in their lives. But it's a tough situation, you know, from an emotional
very
standpoint.
Tough. And especially when the father's living in a world that's not comfortable for you or for the children necessarily.
Right.
I mean, I think
right.
that children can accept their parents' homosexuality, but it doesn't mean they want to be thrust into the gay society. You know, they may not feel
exactly.
comfortable with that, especially I've seen that happen with teenagers, teenage boys specifically. You know, they weren't
right.
comfortable.
Right.
You know, their fathers think, oh, I'll take you to a gay parade. Well, they're not comfortable with that. You know, it's not a matter
right.
of supporting you. It's a matter of personal comfort. And,
right.
you know, the fathers will insist on it, and it becomes a whole big issue on, you know,
right.
or the fathers dating different guys, and the kids may not be comfortable meeting different partners. And,
right.
you know, I say the same thing for women. You know, it's not just for the gay men. You know, you have to be conscious of how your children are going to be affected by your, you know, life after marriage
right.
also. Because they don't want to see you
yeah.
with lots of men at different spots, different places.
Right.
You know, I'm not saying that
but
you shouldn't do it. You just shouldn't do it in front of them, right?
Right. Well, it's a very, you know, it's a very selfish, narcissistic way of looking at life. You know, it's like, this is who I am. Well, that's great. Go do your thing. But don't expect everyone else to be accepting of it or want to embrace it. That's the thing. I think they want us to just say, okay, everything's fine now. We're still going to remain, you know, intact and we're going to embrace your life. But that's, you know, that's not necessarily, not everyone's comfortable with that. And
exactly.
once again, I say, you know, be whoever you want to be, and that's absolutely not a problem. But you shouldn't do it at the expense of other people, you know. You know that's where the... That's
right,
what
you do in your own private life, I don't really care what you do. But once you bring it into the family, then it's another story. And I'm not saying
exactly.
that people shouldn't be authentic and be who they are. But it doesn't mean that you should be doing things that are going to affect the children and their mental health and their unhappiness. I mean, that has to come first. And I've seen people tell me. I've had one man who told me, and I really respect him a lot. And he said, you know, if I have to look back at what I did as far as the family, he said, I think I made some mistakes. And when I questioned
mm-hmm.
him further on it, I said, well, what mistakes do you think you made? He said, well, when I left my wife, I was so happy with my boyfriend that I dragged him immediately into the lives of my children, who at that point were teenagers. And,
right.
you know, I wanted to take him everywhere with me. I wanted to show him off to everybody. And he said, that was a mistake. They were not ready for it. And it really created problems between him and his kids for a number of years, you know, because they didn't want to be near that.
Right.
Right?
Well, absolutely. It doesn't show any respect for your children or your wife to be parading somebody around, you know, after how many years of marriage. It's the deception is one thing, but it's also the whole lifestyle and the whole, you know, and that's why I still go back to that. Like, you know, you're parading around a girlfriend. If you're a man, it's terrible. It's deception, but it's also like, it's a whole different lifestyle that you didn't know anything about, you know. It's, you know, it goes back to that whole, you know, it's worse than deception. It's worse than cheating. It's way beyond that, you know. It's you turn family upside down because you were trying to be someone you were not, and that's the bottom line. And then when you became the person that you wanted to be, you just ditched your family and moved on. Right? With no remorse. That's the way I look at it.
Well, it's true, because they really don't have any remorse, because, like I said, for the men that I talk to, and I talk to many, because they call me looking for advice on how to leave their marriages in the best possible way, but they're not feeling remorseful in almost any case. They're feeling like this is their turn, they did the right thing for 20, 30 years,
right?
And this is what their thinking is, and I have to try to make some adjustments there. You know, I can be sympathetic to a point, but then at that point, you need to pick up the ball and move in the right direction. If you're going to keep going down the wrong path, you don't have a choice in being gay, but you do have a choice in being honest.
Right.
And you also have a choice in how you're going to treat your family after this honesty comes out. And you even have a choice of when to tell your wife. I mean, you know, I always tell men, the sooner the better, deliver the letter. I mean, even though the news isn't going to be good news. Every day she's sitting in a marriage confused on why she's being mistreated and thinking, what is she doing wrong? Is another day she has to suffer. I mean, to be honest, let me ask you this question, Megan. If you had a choice, would you rather have learned sooner than later or not?
I absolutely, there's no doubt about it, because the mental anguish and the stress that it put not only on me, but on my kids, I was just trying to find an answer. I was trying to get answers. I wanted to know the truth. And as I said, I thought it was something, either Alzheimer's or some mental thing or stress from work or a girlfriend. I had no idea. I was so blindsided. And I tried everything to figure this out. And I'm telling you, quite frankly, if I had found out much, it would have been a lot healthier for my kids, for me, and it would have just been much easier to move on. And that's the thing. And I don't know why these men take so long to not only figure it out on their own, but to explain it to their family and to do the right thing. I mean, you say these people go to you for suggestions, but how many of these men actually do the right thing? How many actually show remorse? It sounds like
that's something that I can't make them show remorse, because they don't really have any remorse. They're not sorry. You know, they're just looking to get the best way out. You know, they feel bad that the situation ended, but they are not sorry. You know, they feel that, you know, they did the best they could do. They try to be a good father. They try to be a good husband. They don't understand what is a good husband. They think just because they go out and work and support you, and that's what I hear from so many of them. I supported her. I supported the family. They don't understand that this is not what it's about.
Right. I think you used the right word when you – I think when you said they're not scarred by this was the right – exactly, that was the right way of putting it, because they are not scarred from it. And they think that it's fine and it's over and it's done with and life goes on. And they don't realize – that, you know, they don't realize what they've left behind. They have no idea. And that's the part that's mind-boggling. Because, you know, if I was in that situation, and I would think, like, how would I feel if I was in that situation? I couldn't sleep at night. I couldn't live with myself knowing what I did or what I left behind and how I destroyed a family. That's not the way the mind works, I guess, in their case. You know,
I tell women this all the time, and I think it takes a while to set in, that gay men don't think straight. And I think that's something that we have to learn to accept. Every time there's a question of why are they doing this or why are they thinking that, it's because they're gay men. If they were straight men, they would think in a straight pattern. And that's not a put down at all on gay men or on gay people.
Right.
I mean, look. I'm straight, and I think straight. I don't think the way a gay person thinks. They have different thought process. That's not a right and a wrong. It's just different. And so when we're looking for explanations on things that make no sense whatsoever to us, that's what it is. They don't think straight, and we're expecting them to react like straight men would react.
Right.
But they can't, because they're not.
Right.
And they don't get it,
right.
Because in their own mind, they've been the ones who are suffering, not us. They feel they've gone over and above and beyond everything to, you know, make our lives better. They're not looking at it that, you know, look how she's suffering. They're thinking about how I've suffered all these years.
Right,
Right. Right? And no, that would be true. A gay man's way of thinking about it.
Right. You know, as I said, like now living out in California, it's no different from New York. There's a lot of, you know, I've met a lot of gay people, a lot of gay men, a lot of gay women, whatever. I mean, I'm as straight as, I'm totally straight. I would love to meet some straight men. But, you know, I feel like it's, I understand it. It's part of the culture. It's, you know, who they are. And I have no problem with it. And it's like you said, you know, they, you can talk to them, be their best friend. Doesn't mean you want to have a relationship with them, you know. And I've, you know, met men out here who were actually, you know, have been married and done exactly what my ex did. And I'm like, wow, like, how could you live with yourself, you know? And they didn't necessarily have children, but they said, you know, I made a mistake. I'm like, are you remorseful? And I've asked them that question. I'm very upfront about it. They go, no, I did what I did, and I'm moving on.
Uh-huh.
And then I'm, you know, wow, I don't necessarily like you anymore. I mean, kidding around, but you know, it's very, you know, as I said, in California, it's everywhere. It's, we know that, but it's, you know, you have to be careful who you talk to, because it's not that, we all know that it's not that uncommon, as you've mentioned. I don't know how many million people go through this. And it's interesting, because I don't feel that I always have the support that I'm looking for. Not that I'm looking for support, but a lot of people are like, oh yeah, what's the big deal, you know, and move on. And I get that. I'm totally moving on, but it is kind of a big deal. You know, it's not that easy.
There is no time limit on grieving over a situation. And when we come out of these situations, there's a lot of post-traumatic stress. Even though women may not recognize what it is, if you've been in a destructive marriage where someone's been abusive to you emotionally, that can certainly create moments of post-traumatic stress. I used to have it very often, like whenever I would hear somebody yell, it would take me right back to when my ex-husband was yelling at me, you know, because
exactly.
He was, you know, a rageaholic, not just yelling, he was a rageaholic who had to scream his way out of everything, shout you down to shut me up, as I always say. But, you know, so I kind of got used to that, keeping quiet when I heard somebody yell. So every time I would hear somebody shout after the marriage for years, you know, I would be jarred by that, and it would take me back to that place. These are not just marriages you just get over. And depending on the amount of abuse, and in most of these marriages there's much more abuse than there would be in a straight marriage, because the husband doesn't want to be there. I mean, and he's blaming you for his unhappiness, when it has absolutely nothing to do with you. And in many of these cases, they're outright cruel. And one of the things that, you know, I'm very grateful to you and the other women who were kind enough to write for my upcoming book, Straight Wives, Shattered Lives 3, which will be out sometime this month. And you read these stories from women who have really suffered, spending day in and day out wondering what's wrong with them, going to try to change themselves in 25 different ways, none of which are ever going to help because their husbands are not honest with them. And their husbands are cruel to them. They won't touch them. They won't go near them. They'll blame them. They'll call them all kinds of names. And, you know, in time, women start believing these messages. And I've had the wonderful opportunity of meeting some of the women who have written for this book. And it's just amazing to me. These women are beautiful women. Caring, loving women, and, you know, what they've gone through as far as being torn down. And this is the part, once again, that I say in my book, and it's really true. I can forgive a lot of things. Once again, I can forgive a guy who didn't know what he was when he married you, or hope he knew he had attractions, but he was hoping against hope that those attractions would change if he loved you enough. You know, if he had a family, if he had the security that he needed, I really do believe in my heart he thought he could change. But when he couldn't change, rather than taking responsibility for it, to start turning the tables on you and blaming you for the problems, and what I can't forgive most of all is robbing women of their feminine spirit, because this is something every woman is blessed with in life, feeling like a woman. And these men just know how to unfeminize you, you know, to the point where you don't feel like a woman anymore because they make you feel so ashamed and embarrassed. Did you ever feel that way?
what you said was just perfect, because I'm going from the first part of the sentence, the what you said about the raging. It's so true. And, you know, picking on some little minor thing just to, like, I don't know, just to be angry, just to create a sense of animosity, you know, from the start. Mm-hmm. So that, you know, create a sense of animosity, you're not going to want to go near that person, right? So it's like, you know, there's the romantic evening is shot right there, because you're already screaming at the person for some stupid thing. And I couldn't agree with you more. It's like, you know, never really saying, oh, you know, you look so pretty today, or, you know, I love that shirt, or, you know, it's cutting down. It's just, that's the part that's so hard to deal with, because you never, you never knew where you stood with the person, but you never felt attractive in their eye. And, you know, it was never a compliment. It was always a criticism. And it was always an argument. And, you know, and that's exactly what you said. It's not, it's the part, just be honest and say, this is who I am. This is why I'm not attracted to you anymore, because I'm attracted to men. Or, you know, but they are moving on. Like, I think in my case, he had to move on and actually have a legitimate boyfriend for, you know, 2 or 3 years before I was able to kick him out of the house and catch him on it. You know, that's the part that really, really gets me more upset than anything. If it had been a process, you know, a real process, like, this is who I am, and this is, unfortunately, I'm becoming, I want to do this, I want to date men, I want to go out. I don't know, I'm not saying I would have accepted it overnight, but at least I would have had an explanation, rather than the explosive, you know, I think we should get divorced, he said. And then I'm like, why? And, you know, and then I figured out why, because I figured it out on my own. It's like, I had to figure it all out on my own. And I'm still waiting for an explanation. And I'm at the point where I don't really want an explanation anymore, because he's going to try to, you know, explain something to me that to make excuses. I don't want an excuse. It's not an excuse. It's who you are, you know, and come clean.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, some of them will never come clean. I know my ex-husband, what I really was very upset about, because, you know, he was trying to go through life with half of his life being under the ground there with this gay man. But to the public, mm-hmm. he wanted to display an image of being a straight man, only for business reasons. And he was involved with a woman who was a lovely, lovely woman, you know, who fell madly in love with him, as many women did. And, of course, he led her on, but he had no intentions. You know, he said to me, I get more excited when I see her son than her. You know, because he was a gay man, misleading a straight woman.
Right.
And I was very upset over it. You know, I said, you know, this is so unconscionable that you're doing this to her. Well, I'm not telling her anything that isn't true, but that wasn't true. I mean, he kept us pretty far away from each other so I wouldn't slip up. But, you know, I think about this poor woman who really fell madly in love with him. And he didn't have any regrets about it, or he didn't even think about it. You know, there are those men who just don't care. I mean, you know, they have no compulsion about doing the right thing, or they do whatever's convenient for them. You know, my ex-husband was also a sociopath, though, so I don't judge certainly all gay men by him. But there are some like that.
Yeah, I think mine was too, because as you said, like, you know, he had a wife before, he was married before, he had a child before, and then, you know, he got divorced. I was married before, he knew that I had no intention of remarrying, I was very gun-shy, and yet, you know, I was still in love, we got married, we were married for 20 years, we had a family together. It's, you know, you just could continue, it's like you said, like your ex, like, you know, he's gay, he divorced you, starts dating again, like, when are they going to draw? When are they going to say, hey, this is who I am? Like, you know, these men are, mine is, you know, he's what, 60 years old. I mean, can't he figure this out when he's 15 years old? And, you know, we've discussed it in the past. I think that he had to wait for his Italian, you know, father, domineering Italian macho father, to pass away to really come out of the closet. And I think, you know,
when
family,
it does happen.
Yeah, I think that's pretty textbook, right? It happens. That's what
I say. It's very common. A lot of these guys, when their father dies, more so than their mother. I mean, sometimes it takes both parents, But sometimes just the father dying is enough for them to come out, because I always feel their mother will accept them. But, you know, they come from a cultural type of situation, like being Italian or religious Christian,
Catholic.
Religious Jewish, you know, Orthodox Jews are the same way, you know, no matter what the religion is, Muslim. I've worked with a number of Muslim men who are very conflicted because they're really trapped, you know, in these Muslim countries. They can't be gay. And yet they don't want to keep hurting their wives, you know, and plus they've already met somebody. So there's so many complexities of this. But, you know, I understand it. I just don't get it, how they can continually just reverse everything. That's the part I'll just never understand.
Can I ask you a question, Bonnie? Because I know you talked to a lot of men about this. Like, do most of them find a man that they start dating that forces them to come out? Or do they – I feel like with mine, that was the impetus. Like, he had a boyfriend for, 2 years plus before I figured out that he was gay. And he would never have told me if I hadn't on his phone. But I don't think most men would come out without having someone else in their life that they're, you know.
That's what I say. From the men that I've spoken to, I mean, I would say 90% of the cases, the reason they're leaving is because they met somebody. And now they want to be their authentic gay life, because now they fell in lust or in love or whatever they want to call it. And they're, for the first time in 20 years, they feel excited. They feel like they can be themselves. They feel this is who their authentic self is. And they're looking to leave the marriage because of that. Otherwise, they would just stay there.
Right.
And still keep playing the game. But somebody comes along and all of a sudden wakes up their homosexuality.
Right. Yeah. Well, mine was able to write me a lame letter basically explaining that, you know, this is who he wanted to be, and he, you know, would, if he could do it, he would do it all over again. And, you know, basically saying, like, I'm sorry. He didn't say I was sorry. It's like, this is the life I've been wanting to lead for 60 years, and now I'm doing it, and I don't regret any of it. And I would do it all over again if I could. And I have to tell you, that was probably...
He would be marrying you again?
No, he would live his gay life.
Oh, gay authentic life. Yeah. Well, yeah.
And
so they're happy now. They're living their gay authentic life.
Yeah, he doesn't have any regrets, and he's not looking back. And I think that was probably the most that hurt me more than anything, just to be able for him to put that in words to say, if I had to do it all over again, meaning I would leave you and be with my boyfriend, and that was it. Like, that's the end. and. You know, I was hoping it would be more of a remorseful thing, like, I'm so sorry I did this, but it's not the way they feel, you know? It's like...
No, because they're not sorry. That's what I said. You know, they really aren't sorry. They're just sorry that they spent so many years living a life that wasn't theirs to live, namely with us. You know, that's the irony of the whole thing.
That's exactly it. They wasted their time. That's basically what he said. I've wasted my time, and now I am the person I want to be, and... You know, have a nice life. That's amazing.
Yeah. But that's why I say gay men don't think straight, because I can't understand that thinking. I mean, I can analyze it, but I just can't really understand it, because here you have a family, you have children, you've lived a life with someone who's treated you good, who's gone out of her way to try everything in the world to show you that she loves you. And okay, you're gay. I understand that. You don't want to stay in a straight marriage. But you should be spending the rest of your life making it up to the woman whose now life has been crushed. That's the way I feel.
Right.
I mean,
not only your women, but your kid. You know, you also your kids, if you have kids, you know, who are affected by it. It's you know, you not only destroy, you've affected a lot of people's lives. And that's, you know, that's the point that it's not coming across. But as you said, I think they don't think straight, and a lot of them are sociopaths or psychopaths, and they don't really care. And it's weird, because with this pandemic, you have to wonder, like, you know, people, it's hard enough to see the people that you're closest to, you know? And I do feel so sorry for these women who are stuck, you know, in a marriage with someone they know they're going to divorce, and they can't even get away from the situation. I think about that. you know, I feel so sorry for women out there who
I
are stuck in the game.
I feel so bad for them also, because I know every day you're living like that is a torturous day. And I always say,
mm-hmm.
a day that you lose in a marriage to a gay man is a day that you're never going to get back. You know, I tell this to women, every day you sit there and linger, every day you sit there and languish, you know, you're going to never get that day back. And those days turn into weeks, turn into months, turn into years,
right.
and before you know it, years of
right.
your life have
right.
been wasted on,
right.
on a marriage
right.
that's not
right.
that's doomed to start with. And that's why I tell women, the sooner you get out, the better you're going to be, no matter how hard it is. And I know it's hard because I became a welfare mother for 3 years after my marriage split up. I had absolutely no means of income. I was a high school dropout at that point who just got her GED. And
wow.
also two babies, one who was sick. You know, I was mentally and emotionally beaten down. My ex-husband took a business and put it into bankruptcy and left me with $50 on the table. And that's all I had. So unable
nice.
To work because I had a sick child running back and forth to hospitals who, sadly, I lost my son. You know, many years
yeah.
later, but you know, I'm being unable to work. I was a welfare mother. That's when I snuck to school so I could go to college and start my career,
mm-hmm.
you know, get my master's degree in counseling. But it was a hard struggle. But guess what? It was easier than living with him. Having to
Absolutely.
Go to thrift stores and buy 50-cent shirts for my little children and have food stamps and buying spaghetti to eat 4 or 5 nights a week was still easier than living with him, because when I went to bed at night, I had peace of mind. I didn't have somebody yelling at me and berating me and making me feel insignificant,
yep.
useless.
Right.
I mean, I could, you know, hold my own on the, you know, even if I had nothing, I was able to survive.
Right.
But if I had to be mentally beaten down, I would have never survived.
Yep. Yep.
It was making me suicidal. That's how I used to feel. I used to feel like, what is life?
Yep.
If I didn't have my children, I probably would have. He was such a strong personality. And like I say, I never judge women on what point they're at, because I looked at myself when I met him. I was one of the strongest women I knew, and yet he was able to beat me down within a short amount of time with constant
mm-hmm.
battering, emotional battering.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't start in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
It took a while.
Mm-hmm.
It took maybe to a year, but then it started. And it actually
mm-hmm.
started with the sexual berating, because we were only married a short time. And, you know, I was young then. I was only 27, and I would say to him,
mm-hmm.
You know, with sex, he was always too tired. He had a headache, toothache, backache. And, you know, we went from once a week or twice a week to once a month and once every 2 months. And he would say, you know, why are you always thinking about sex? Why is it always about sex with you? And I said, well, it's an important part of a relationship, you know. And he would think, like, I'm making this stuff up. And he would
mm-hmm.
say to me, you know,
mm-hmm.
are you a nymphomaniac? You're always thinking about sex. Well, he was always thinking
wow.
about sex, too, but he was always thinking about sex with somebody else, not with me. So, you know, but
exactly.
what did I know back then? You know, I didn't understand it. So I internalized
right.
it, and that was the beginning of me losing who I was. So, you
right.
know, I
right.
can see how women get beaten down in these marriages when the guys don't want you to find out their secrets, and they're keeping secrets from you, and they don't want you to know the truth, and they'd rather blame you. You know, is very mentally distressing. And that's why I say the difference, you know, you were in a marriage before, I was in marriage before, you know, my gay husband. And
mm-hmm.
I know the difference, because my first marriage didn't work out, but it wasn't because he was berating me. We just grew apart. We had other issues. But at least the love
right.
had been there. And at least he made me feel like a woman. And at least he built up my feminine spirit instead of snuffing it out. So, you
yeah.
know, when you're with someone who is straight, even if things don't work out, it's not the same thing. Now, would you agree with that? You were married before.
Yes, yes. No, I agree with you there. You know, it's that constant berating, belittling, you know, and it's like you said, you're obviously a very strong woman. You know, you've proven that. And I think sometimes the stronger you are, the more independent I want to use also. Like, you know, I consider myself very independent, and I think they look at that like almost like a what's the right word? Like, you know, they can't handle an independent woman because they're so weak at some point. It's not it's not that they're weak because they're gay. It's just they're weak because they're not being their true self. And it's just the lack of security. It's the lack of, it's like you said, there's never a feeling of, you know, their lack of emotion and their lack of the ability to, you know, to compliment us, to, you know, have, you know, a romantic experience. They're so limited. I think it's just their total confusion. And
well, no, it's because they're trying to think of ways that they don't have to make love to us. You know, that takes a lot of manipulation to get the woman you love to make her realize that you're not going to be doing anything with her. It takes a lot of manipulation, and you're constantly looking how to dodge bullets, so to speak, of having to make love to your wife when she's not the one you want to make love to. So I think that takes a lot of manipulation in itself. And I think that using the anger a lot of times is their way of making you feel alienated from not wanting to do it.
Right.
So I think it's actually, you know, if you really think about it, that they plan that out. But one thing I just wanted to cover tonight also, because it is my last show for the season, you know, for the next 2 months, is that a lot of times in our group, the issues come up with children and the allegiance they have with their fathers after the marriage breaks up. And this has become a common trend for a number of our women, that kids feel, you know, that the mother should give in, that the poor fathers, you know, they have a tough life, they had to live a life that wasn't theirs, and they feel very sympathetic towards the fathers. And I know it's really hurtful to a lot of our women who are the primary parent in many of these cases and have been there for their children the whole time, and now the children are feeling sympathy for the father or alienation from the mother in some cases. And I just want to say that if you're listening to the show, because believe it or not, when I was going over our stats, I was really impressed. I have 8% of our listeners are actually from Australia, and we have another 11% from Europe. So there are women who are not necessarily in our support network, but they're listening to this show on a very regular basis. So I've heard this message many times. I want women to understand why this happens. And it's because of the fact that you have to always remember that children are also made up of their father's genetics. That's one point. So in certain cases, children may feel that kind of sympathy towards their fathers. Also, children are really, you know, sometimes more in tune to the parent that, you know, doesn't favor them. In other words, they know they have your love and your acceptance, but they often feel that neglect from their father. So they'll really try harder to make their fathers happy just to try to feel more accepted or loved. And the third point I wanted to bring out on that I brought up this week to the group was that children want a sense of normalcy. And they, you know, this is in any divorce, not just with us, but, you know, children from divorce, all they want is that sense of normalcy. They want their life back that they had before all this happened. And they feel that in many cases that we're the ones responsible for not giving it back to them. In other words, their fathers, they say, well, I want to be friends with your mom. I would do things as a family, but your mother doesn't want to do it. So they're manipulating our children against us. In other words, that we would be a normal family if only your mother could get over it. And they, you know, like I say, they're not looking to try to heal us. They're only worried about themselves and their self-image. So I want to tell women, if this is your situation, you shouldn't feel that you're the only one going through this, because many of our women go through this alienation of the children. And in many cases, later on, that will change, but not all of the time. And once again, sometimes your kids, the role modeling they've seen when they were growing up, that they saw your husband mistreating you and being disrespectful to you, in some cases, they're going to follow in that pattern. They're also going to disrespect you and also give you a, you know, big mouth like your ex-husband did, because this is the way they've grown up. So these are issues that many of our women are dealing with. And if you're one of them and you need support, all you have to do is write to me. I'm happy to talk to you or happy to set you up with other women who have gone through this situation. We have women in all kinds of situations in our group. And, you know, some of them came out of very abusive marriages, the majority, but there were some who came out of wonderful marriages and were totally blindsided. No matter what the situation is, you know, the impact is still the same, finding out you have a gay husband. It's no easier for the person who had a happy marriage than it is for the person who had a destructive marriage. Just hearing the news that your husband is gay is a life changer. Wouldn't you say so?
Bonnie, you said it so perfectly. I couldn't agree with you more. And there's a lot of obstacles, and you know, it's an experience, and you know, it's a process, I guess I should say. And what you said is so true. And it's got some hurdles to it, but I think in the long run, as you mentioned, the sooner, you know, you can just move on and I don't want to say get over it, but, you know, and the children are going to make up their own mind and, you know, time, it just takes time and, it just is one day at a time. And especially now under this, you know, situation we're all living in, I agree with you. And, you know, sometimes you just have to let your kids have some space and let them figure it out on their own. And, you know, we can only do our best. And, you know, as like a single parent, you can only do so much. And I have to say the most important thing, I think, is for the children to just have some sense of stability. And that's the most important thing. And to that they have a family to come back to. And they know that they have stability at any age. And they have, you know, concrete, you know, a schedule and a place that they can come to and be who they want to be and, you know, create a sense of security. It's a matter of, at this, especially now, you need security and stability. And that's what our kids need. We need, you know.
Exactly.
And everything else from there, just everything else will take its place, you know. But you have to start somewhere. And I think you have to start with a sense of just knowing that things are going to be okay and have to have a positive attitude. And just, you know, especially when kids are, you have to just stay positive. It's all going to work out and you can always come to me and you have a place to live. And thankfully you have food on the table. And like you went through that with your situation. I mean, you were struggling and it's a big part of it, you know, and take baby steps. It's baby steps. It's one step at a time. And just to know that there, that, you know, it's unconditional love. You know, it's like we're a mother, and we're going to be there unconditionally, and everything else is just going to take its place, and it's all going to work out. And that's what I tell my kids. So,
exactly.
What else can you do? Right.
Well, it's time to wrap up our show. With you, it always goes so fast. But I just want to wish all our listeners a very happy New Year. This has been a really bad year for so many people. Not because it's straight gay only, but also because of the pandemic creating new obstacles for people, whether they're at home, whether they're at work, whether home it's with the children. You know, it's just been a horrible year for too many people who had to die from this pandemic. And I'm hoping being optimistic that New Year's coming and that the vaccine will be out and that people will be safer and people will be able to survive. So to all of our straight sisters who are listening to this, no matter where you are in the world, I personally want to wish you a happy upcoming year filled with hope, filled with happiness, filled with good mental health. And Megan, I know you feel the same way, right?
Absolutely. Happy New Year and good luck to everyone. And Bonnie, thank you for everything you do for everyone.
Megan, thank you
it.
So much for always sharing your insights and your points of view. I know that women think for you, and I hope you have the best year coming up. And I'm just crossing my fingers that by next year I'll be having a healing weekend, and you'll be coming, so I can give you that big hug in person. I'll be waiting for you.
Thank you.
All right, to all our listeners, have a wonderful week, and I'll be back again in March. Megan, I'll be looking forward to having you back in on March.
Thank you. Happy New Year, everyone.
All right.
Hang in.
All right. Take
Thank
care.
You.
Good night, everyone. Bye-bye.